Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. The late night hosts are worried about Mark Meadows. Jimmy Fallon said the consequences are severe. Mark Meadows could be sentenced to a year in prison or even worse, another month working for Donald Trump. Of course, Meadows needs a good lawyer, so the first thing he did was pull up Rudy Giuliani's number and delete it. Ha, Colbert. The messages have the ring of unfiltered truth because they're taken from Mark Meadows' two personal phones, and nothing says innocent like a second cell phone. Jim Gaffigan's new special is out on Netflix tomorrow. It is called Comedy Monster. The preview sees Jim Gaffigan take on topics such as COVID. Jim said, "Remember when we all thought the pandemic was over? The pandemic is like a TV show you thought was canceled, and then it got picked up by Netflix." He also made fun of billionaires, saying, "I almost feel sorry for the accountants of billionaires because, you know, they were like, you had an amazing year. You made $40 billion, but I fudged the numbers, so it looks like you broke even. As long as you lay low and don't draw attention, we should be fine. You got anything coming up? I built a rocket to fly to outer space. Does it matter if it looks like a penis?" Speaking of comedy specials, now I'm in the past, you're in my future. You tell me, did Louis C.K. drop a comedy special on Saturday night? That's what we thought what was going to happen as we sat here at Comedy News headquarters. On Friday, when I recorded this, the left button said there were hints dropped by some comedians on random podcasts and random radio interviews that Louis C.K. had a new special in the works and it was coming soon. Bobby Kelly was taping his podcast Thursday night, The Comedy Cellar. His guests, Joe List, Dan Soder, and Luis Gomez, they were doing a Christmas exchange. Louis C.K. showed up at the end of the podcast taping in character as Santa Claus. He was never referred to by name, but Santa C.K. spent some time delivering gifts to the comics. After his appearance, a panel of comics alluded to the special dropping Saturday night. On an earlier appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast, Shane Gillis had stated the special was taped at the Hulu Theater in Madison Square Garden last August and had the word sorry lit up acting as the special's backdrop. So check your feeds. There might be a new Louis C.K. special out there. Ask Men talked to Theo Von about his special on Netflix at Regular People. "Hey, Theo Von, what motivated you creatively for this one?" Theo Von said the special should have been recorded about 2 years ago, but COVID happened. "The tough part, there was nowhere to practice and perform the material for a long time. It's almost like having to reheat something that was left in the fridge. It's hard to get the recipe exact as it was initially on the stove. We did a couple shows to get it back and warmed up, but in total it took 5 years. I would have loved to have shot it years earlier, but it's just where we are right now. I could have held on to it even longer, but it's like shedding a skin in a way and makes you think about evolving. There's a lot of people who cheer me on and support me. I know when they see it, it makes them feel really good. It makes them feel like the care and energy they put into me means something, and it makes us all feel some sense of achievement. That was probably the best part, I think." From Lad Bible, or LAD Bible, I never know how to say it, a female comedian took to Twitter to blast a creepy promoter after discovering that he rejected her professional headshots, instead crawled her social media to find other photos to use. Her post is called "What's It Like Being a Female Comedian?" Humorist Alice Hamilton shared a screenshot of a conversation between her and the unnamed promoter in which she slams his unprofessional attitude and announces she's withdrawing from an upcoming show after he replaced her promo photo with candid snaps from Instagram without her permission. Alice Hamilton writes, "Hey man, I'm dropping out of the show on Saturday because I think it's really weird and rude that you asked me for a headshot. I sent you one and then you refused to use it. Instead, you went through my Instagram photos and picked a picture of me with the most cleavage. It makes me worry that if I went to your show, I'd have to keep an eye on my drink the whole time, you know? S is creepy. In the future, please treat the female comedians you book with more respect. This type of S is just uncomfortable. Be well." Alice later shared a side-by-side photo of the two pictures. One, a professional-looking headshot, whereas the other is a heavily filtered screen grab from Snapchat featuring a gratuitous amount of cleavage. IndieWire talked to Adam Sorkin about this new Lucy and Desi movie to be out on Amazon tomorrow. "I have it on the calendar to watch it with my mom." I was like, "Hey mom, there's a movie about Lucy and Desi." And she's like, "Okay." So she'll watch it with me tomorrow. I can't wait for it. Sorkin read a dozen or so mediocre books, says IndieWire, written about the showbiz couple, but he admired Desi Arnaz's 1976 autobiography, A Book. In it, Sorkin says, "Desi's a terrific storyteller. He doesn't mind giving you bad news. You can always tell he had a drink next to him while writing it." Sorkin wanted to avoid a familiar greatest hit scenario. He decided to have the whole thing unfold during one production week, from the Monday table read to the Friday audience taping, like a compressing of time and space. He chose 5 key moments over 5 days, one for each day of the week. Sorkin says, if I choose the right moments and write them so the five moments add up to something, I'm not falling back into the biopic, this happened, trap. It's all aiming towards I Love Lucy and the problem of the marriage, and Lucy's solution is I Love Lucy. As long as I had that structure, I felt like I might have a chance of writing a good screenplay. That's what I'm looking for, like a baseball player looking for a pitch with a good chance of hitting it. So he threw in the news of Ball's pregnancy, the Red Scare, meaning communism, Arnaz's infidelity. All that took place over 2 years, and Sorkin is cramming it into 1 week in a September 1952 setting. These were all interesting to me. They were points of friction and conflict, so I can write scenes that add up to something. Tomorrow on Amazon. Gabriel Iglesias is excited to play Dodger Stadium. He says, it means more than anything to me. The fact that it's home, it's the biggest show of my life and it's happening at home. If it goes well, awesome. If I bomb, then it's a short drive. There's nothing I can really do to prep. The show's going to be set like the material's already set for the show. I can only tighten it more for the show, but there's no way you can practice. It doesn't matter what arena you play, because that's what we're doing right now, an arena tour. The timing on that is hard enough, so to multiply by two, it's going to be like a second and a half to the 2 second delay. That's for the sound slapping back. Yeah, that's got to be hard to deal with. From Chortle, Mo Gilligan is working on a British version of the comedy game show That's My Jam. This will be for the BBC, the American version, hosted by Jimmy Fallon. It debuts in January in the States, the Fallon version, that is. A preview episode of the American version aired in November. It featured Ariana Grande, Blake Shelton, Kelly Clarkson, and John Legend. It features games such as Air Guitar and Wheel of Impossible Karaoke. I will not be watching that. From Showbiz 411, the new number one record is a comedy charity single from Elton John, Ed Sheeran, and a Brit named Lad Baby, who Showbiz 411 says is like their Weird Al combined with Ali G. All right. The song, Sausage Rolls for Everyone. Showbiz 411 says Sausage Rolls for Everyone is a hoot and incredibly catchy. A lot catchier than the actual Elton John, Ed Sheeran Christmas song, Merry Christmas, which will be forgotten in the wake of this hit. I have posted it to the Facebook group. I scheduled the post for a little after noon Eastern on Monday. So if you want to see Sausage Rolls for Everyone, and it's in the afternoon on Monday on the East Coast of the United States on planet Earth, pop on over to the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Group. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That's the 5-minute daily podcast about the royal family. I'm the writer on it. Yeah, we talk about the Queen and Kate and William and Harry and Meghan. And it's Christmas week, which is like Super Bowl week for the royals. Like, there's a lot going on. The Queen wanted to have a lunch tomorrow. She had to cancel it because of this Omicron thing. We'll see what happens with Christmas. So if you want to keep up to date on all that, Meghan went Christmas shopping. Where did she shop? They'll tell you on Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts. I saw Vulture listed their best comedy specials of 2021. You know, it was a pretty bad year for specials. I've been working on my top 10 list. I'll talk about that in a second. And I went through the Vulture list and, you know, a lot of times I'll do these article episodes on the weekend. I don't have anything to say about any of these specials that Vulture listed. Vulture is a great site. Not saying that their work is crappy, but just the specials this year were just like, eh, they weren't that good. Vulture made Bo Burnham's Inside their number one special. And if that's the best special of 2021, wow, I made it about 15 minutes into that and just didn't care. And I know there's buzz on it, but like, have you seen it? Like, it's like, eh, I don't care. Maybe I'm just getting old. Hey, Vulture, why isn't Nate Bargatze's special on your list? How is that not on your list? I saw the things on your list. Should I click on it? I'll click on it real quick. Here's what they have. 10, Fighting Words, Aida Rodriguez. 9, BBW, Nicole Byer. 8, Viradaz's 10 on 10. All right, maybe. 7, Here's Everything, Ricky Velez. Absolutely not. 6, Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999, James A. Caster. All right. 5, Hashtag Josh Johnson. 4, Drawn Tignataro. 3, Imperfect Messenger, Roy Wood Jr. 2, Good Timing with Joe Firestone. And number 1, Inside Bo Burnham. How is Nate Bargatze not on that list? As for my list, I'm really struggling with it. I'm going to do my list Sunday, the day after Christmas. I've pulled it together. I'm doing what the New York Times did. I'm not doing the top stand-up specials. I'm doing like the top 10 funny things, top 10 things in comedy, topics, might mention tacos. So that'll give you a hint as to where I'm going with my list. So the plan is this week is all normal, Monday through Friday. Saturday, I'll talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which obviously is a perfect Christmas episode. No, I just didn't realize Christmas was on a Saturday when I decided Saturdays in December would be when I review It's Always Sunny. So I'm committed. I'll do it. I mean, what else am I going to do on Christmas? Do Adam Sandler Christmas movies or something? So Saturday will be sunny. Sunday will be the top 10 funniest whatever things. I just explained that to you. This week on, is it Thursday? Festivus. The airing of the grievances. So we'll get into that as well. From news.com.au, Australian funny man Vince Sorrenti has sparked backlash with an offensive song aimed at the Maori population. Vince Sorrenti was on 2GB's Saturday Night with Rob Duckworth. Then Vince Sorrenti launched into his own version of Dean Martin's classic 1953, That's Amore. That's Amore. See where we're going here? All right. Here are the controversial lyrics as sung by Vince Sorrenti. His lyrics were, when you're hit by a thug in a tough Kiwi pub, that's a Maori. He got laughter from the studio. Rob Duckworth, the host, attempted to move on, going, there you go, Vince Sorrenti, he's on fire already, and then asked Sorrenti about his upcoming shows. A member of Sydney's Maori Wardens community told Daily Mail Australia that the joke was offensive. In today's day and age, that's definitely not acceptable. He needs to reconsider his material in the future. Mr. Sorrenti has apologized, with a spokesperson telling the publication the joke was outdated and unacceptable, and adding Mr. Sorrenti would be formally apologizing on air soon. Meanwhile, from news of the area, comedian Kelly Mack, no relation, delivers with her trial showing of her new routine, Wrong Side of 50. Kelly Mack apologized in advance for the one bad pun and possibly a bad accent as she launched into a nonstop, no punches pulled exposition of the joys of being a woman on the, quote, wrong side of 50, from dealing with millennials and explaining why your husband can't be your best friend, to the unexpected impacts of aging on your sex life, all the way to reality TV, the laughs kept coming. Never one to shy away from the tough stuff, Kel informed the audience that unlike many other contemporary female comedians, she does not do dick jokes, and then proceeded to bring the house down with a monologue based on the trials and tribulations of female sexuality after 50 years of age. News of the area gave Kelly Mack 3.5 stars. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.